Welcome back to Prophecy Today. Jimmy DeYoung here at the Broadcast Central in Chattanooga, talking to our broadcast partners around the world, giving us insight into current events to help us understand how God's prophetic scenario is coming better into focus on a daily basis. As promised, we're going to David Dolan. He has his Middle East news update. This is an essential report for each and every one of us who are students of Bible prophecy. And David, let me go to Israel right away, and in fact, into the Gaza Strip. Hamas is making some promises that they're going to continue their armed struggle against the new government in Israel that seems to be developing even in the activities this week. Can you give us the details, please?
Well, yes, Jimmy. The Israeli Chief of Staff, General Kohavi, said that he is beefing up forces once again along the Gaza Strip. He's actually flying to the United States today to meet with senior officials, but before he left on Friday, he said he would beef up the forces and they may have to go in. Hamas protested that Israel was changing the ground rules, as they put it in a statement, by striking at their targets twice during the week in Gaza after dozens of incendiary devices, balloons with the bombs attached and explosives attached, started 12-13 fires in Israel. And before, the Israelis wouldn't respond to those fires with aircraft in this way. So they said, you're upping the game and changing the rules. Well, what rules? Nobody made any rules there. Israel made no promises. In fact, the new government did say, as I reported last week, that they would meet incendiary devices. They would consider them like rockets because they do start fires. They burn fields. They burn homes. And several Israelis have been killed in those fires. So they take this very seriously. But we now know that the new government is certainly not going to be any softer than the Netanyahu government. This strike came as Israel also hit a Syrian position near the Golan Heights during the week on Wednesday night after senior Hezbollah officials from Lebanon were seen there. They were visiting and strengthening the Hezbollah presence right along Israel's northern border. So we saw action in Gaza and action in the north this week. So the new government is obviously going to take a tough stand on terrorism, both in the north and in the south.
Talk to me about what the Palestinian leadership had to say. They made a statement this week that Naftali Bennett is more radical than Benjamin Netanyahu. What are your thoughts about that statement?
Well, I think it's actually accurate. He's a tough cookie. He is a very conservative, as we've said. He's religious. He's the first ever prime minister that wears a kippah all the time. He always goes to synagogue. Benjamin Netanyahu had weekly prayers at his home and a Bible study and other things, so it's not as if he wasn't. But Bennett is further in that direction, and they're learning that now. Hamas, of course, has condemned his government. By the way, there was rioting in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount yesterday on Friday after Friday prayers, and a security cabinet meeting has been called for tomorrow, Sunday, Jimmy, to discuss all of this. But it looks like, and I told you this a month ago as in our discussions, that we would at least have an uprising this summer, if not continued violence, but possibly another full round of war. And this time, the Israelis may even go into the Gaza Strip. They're just not going to let Hamas get away with these provocative actions all the time, supposedly in defense of Jerusalem, but really, of course, they want to see all of Israel destroyed, and they're taking actions, offensive actions, to create the conditions for that.
And we'll stay on top of this story with David Dolan, the man who covers the Middle East for us. Very important information given to all of us so we can understand the conflict between the Israelis and the Palestinians. David, a moment ago, you mentioned that Naftali Bennett was a religious Jew, Orthodox, wears the kippah, the little beanie on the back of his head. However, the religious parties this week say they fear this secular government. That's what the religious leaders of political parties are calling it. And the fact is, there is going to be a boycott, according to one leader, against what is happening in this new government. Talk to us about that.
Well, Jimmy, basically the two main religious parties are not in the government for the first time in many, many years. And being a part of the coalition government, frankly, you get a lot more government aid for your particular voters and your people. The fear from the Sephardic Shas Party and the Ashkenazi United Torah Judaism Party is that the funding for their schools and their seminaries, their yeshivas, they're called in Hebrew, will be cut. And that is the stated position of two of the parties in the government. The Meretz left-wing party and the Labor Party has said they want to do that. And Avigdor Lieberman's Russian-based party is also an advocate for that. So three of the eight parties want to see these religious parties cut down, as it were, and have less influence. They want to open up travel on Shabbat. They want to open up more stores and public transport and this sort of thing. So, yes, the Orthodox parties are very unhappy with this, even though, again, for the first time ever, we have an Orthodox man sitting at the helm, but he's sitting with the, you know, the centrist Lapid, who's the foreign minister. They just have to swallow hard and take it because they couldn't, Netanyahu couldn't persuade enough other parties to join him. But they're hoping, of course, to topple this current government and to go back to the former arrangement. And as we've said, that could well happen. Just a one-seat majority the government has in parliament. So very tenuous indeed.
And speaking on that subject, Prime Minister, former Prime Minister Netanyahu is down, but he's making the statement and actively involved in letting everybody know he is not out. He may be down, but he's not out for good. In fact, I understand that there was already a call for a no-confidence vote within the first week of this new government, supposed to vote on it this coming week. I mean, Netanyahu is not going to sit still. He has vowed that he's going to try to bring down this government as soon as he possibly can. I think he's going to follow through, don't you?
Well, Jimmy, he knows full well that some of the members of the government of the two right-wing parties, Naftali Bennett's own Yamina, which means to the right in Hebrew party, and the New Hope Party, which is a breakaway from the Likud, he knows that some of those Knesset members are very uncomfortable sitting in a government with an Arab Islamic party, with Meretz, this anti-religious party, etc. So when the government faces any issue dealing with these topics, it's very likely that they will vote against their own government. That's what he's hoping, and that alone would cause the government to fall. So, yes, it's extremely tenuous, Jimmy. There's going to be no confidence votes probably every week. And again, when they really have to deal with an issue that's core, that's divisive between these two right-wing parties and the two very left-wing parties on the other end, really three with the Arab party, we're going to probably see it fall apart. And Netanyahu knows that, and he'll be working real hard to make that happen.
David, in the past, we've talked about the Red Dead Project, which was going to be an effort to bring water from the Red Sea up to the Dead Sea and refill the Dead Sea, which is losing much of its water. That was going to be a partnership between Israel and Jordan. Now, I understand Jordan has withdrawn from that partnership. Is Israel going to move ahead with the Red Dead, or is it basically dead?
Well, they could do it alone without Jordan, but it would run right along the long Jordanian-Israeli border south of the Dead Sea. It's a straight line basically down to Eilat and Aqaba, the Arab town right next to Eilat. So they could easily disrupt it, in other words, if they wanted to. So it's certainly less likely that Israel will do this unilaterally. But as you said, the Dead Sea is not only the saltiest sea on earth and the lowest spot in the Middle East, but it is drying up significantly, and they would hate to see that disappear. And the Jordanians as well. Both countries get phosphates from the Dead Sea. It's a major industry in both countries. So if it dries up, it's worthless, basically, and a solution has to be found. There was another suggestion that they bring water from the Mediterranean. That would be a much shorter distance across to the Dead Sea, but that would go right along Gaza. So, again, problems there. So we'll see, but it's sad to see that historic lake, really, it's not a sea, an inland lake, more or less dry up.
And that does have great significance. I'll discuss that attention to that issue when I take a look at the book right here on Prophecy Today. David, very key report each and every week, your Middle East news update. Appreciate you staying on top of everything that's happening and helping us to understand it from a very practical perspective and prophetic as well. Thank you, buddy. We'll have another conversation next week.
I'm blessed to do it, Jimmy. Thank you. God bless.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have Winky Madad at the broadcast table and discuss a potpourri of items with Winky. It's all ahead right here on Prophecy Today.